So what do you do when life gets hard? What do you do when you're hurting? When you feel anxious? When you feel overwhelmed? When life gets difficult, what do you stand on? What do you truly believe? What if I told you that what you believe about God shapes everything about you? Think about it. What you believe about God, it shapes what you think and believe about yourself. It shapes your identity. What you believe about God shapes your morality, how you behave. What you believe about God impacts how you treat people, how you love, if you forgive or if you hold a grudge. What you believe about God shapes your future. What you believe about God shapes your eternity. What you believe about God shapes everything about you. And so that's why we're starting a new message series. It's called The Creed. It's all about what you believe about God. And I got to warn you, this message series is going to be different. Elbow the person next to you and say, it's going to be different. Elbow your second choice. Say, hey, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. Now, we're talking about the creed. And some of you, you're going to say, like, what creed are we talking about? Just to be very clear, we are not talking about Creed from The Office. We're not talking about the band, The Creed. And we're not talking about Adonis Creed, played by Michael B. Jordan. The creed we're talking about is the Apostles' Creed. And this is a declaration that has shaped the Christian church for centuries. The Apostles' Creed. If you can imagine, this creed has been declared in royal courts. It's been sung in prisons. It's been shouted in cathedrals. And it's been whispered by Christians facing death. And the creed begins, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. These words, they're ancient, they're unshakable, and they're worth dying for. Now, I know what some of you are probably thinking. Okay, I was with you on that last series. But like, why are we studying some ancient creed when I got modern problems? I can't even afford eggs today. Can somebody say amen? You can't even find eggs. Like you got some eggs, I'll pay you $20 for a dozen. That'd be a bargain, right? Why are we talking about a creed when there's all these real issues going on? What I want to tell you is the creed, these are not just ancient words, but in a world that is drowning in moral confusion and cultural compromise, this creed offers a firm foundation that has stood the test of time for generations. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the creed, mostly line by line. And my goal, in a culture where even many people in the church don't really know what they believe, is I'm going to help you build a spiritual foundation that's not based on just the opinions of people or the latest TikTok trends or whatever feels good in the moment, but we're going to build a spiritual foundation on the timeless, unshakable truth of the one true God. And my goal, just so you'll kind of, you know, I'm going to show you my cards, is by the end of the series that you won't just know the Apostles' Creed, but you'll believe it deeply, not just as a ritual, but as a personal declaration of your faith in the God who created you. Why? Because what you believe about God shapes everything about you. You could be a Christian all your life and say it every Sunday at some churches. You could be a very committed Christian in some other church and go, "What in the world is that?" The Apostles' Creed is broadly accepted as the most ancient, concise, time-tested declaration of the Christian faith. It dates back, believe it or not, all the way to the 2nd century AD. And when we talk about the Apostles' Creed, I'm going to give you a little plot twist. Here's a little plot twist. The Apostles' Creed, are you ready for this? The Apostles' Creed was not written by the apostles. It was written based on the apostles' teaching. But it wasn't written by the apostles. So, why is it called the Apostles' Creed? I don't know. But nevertheless, it was actually developed as a response to the false teaching known as Gnosticism. That's a big word. We're going to come back to the word Gnosticism. And the Apostles' Creed helped shape the unity and unify and strengthen the early Christians around the essential doctrines of our faith. And if you could imagine, this creed was formed when Christianity was still illegal. In other words, if you believed in Jesus during the time this creed was established, you could be arrested, beaten, put to death. The same way as is still true in many parts of the world. And so when they would declare this creed, it wasn't just a statement of faith, but it was a declaration of allegiance to a God worth giving your life for is powerful. The Apostles' Creed is just a little over 100 words, and it takes about a minute to say it aloud, and it's a foundation that can make an eternal difference in your life. So, today what we're going to do is we're going to declare the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Apostles' Creed starts this way. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. In Latin, it starts with the word credo. That word comes from the root word creed, which we get our word credibility, or trust, or faith, or belief. The word credo is a very, very strong word that means I believe, but it means richly. It means this: I believe so fully that I give my heart, my trust, my life to this truth, no matter the cost. I believe with every part of me in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Now, if you'll notice, It actually starts with I believe, not we believe. Because the question is, and then I want you to think about it, it's not what do your friends believe, or what do your mom and dad believe, or what do other people believe. The question is, what do you believe? What do you build your life on? And the creed isn't something about personal preference. It's not just what do you think or what do you prefer. Like, I prefer dogs over cats because God does too. It's not about preference. It's not like I prefer bacon over sausage because everything is better with bacon, right? Everything's better with bacon. It's not about preferences. It's not about opinions. This is about eternal truths that completely define your life. And so let's look at how it starts. It doesn't just start with, I believe in God, but the creed defines who God is. It says, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Now, why does the Father Almighty matter? Why does it define who God is? Because people all over the world believe in some kind of God, right? I mean, you ask them, hey, do you believe in God? Yeah. I believe in a higher power, right? I believe in this vague force like karma that you do bad and you get bad, and you do good and you get good. I believe in good vibes. I believe in a good, I believe in the crystals I got on Etsy, whatever it is. People believe in all different types of God. But we don't believe in some idea of God, but we believe in the God of the Bible. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Think about this. That declaration is both personal and indescribably powerful. Think about it. It's personal because it's declaring, I believe in a personal God who is Father. And is powerful because my Father is an almighty God. And those two metaphors, Father and Almighty, matter more than you can imagine. When you think about it, whenever Jesus taught us to pray, how did Jesus say we should pray? What he could have said is he could have said, hey, I want you to pray to God, our ruler, or God, our creator. But Jesus taught us to pray this way. Jesus said this. He said, this then is how you should pray. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We pray our Father. Now, whenever you hear, okay, we're praying to God the Father, you probably don't think much of that, because if you grew up around the church in this part of the world, we say Heavenly Father, Lord Father, God Father. Well, we just pray that way. But in the ancient world, the idea of God the Father was radical. It was like, even heresy, because the Roman and Greek religions, their gods were distant. Their gods were impersonal. Many of their gods were cruel. And so the God, the Bible, isn't distant, isn't impersonal, but is a close, loving Father. We pray God our Father. We have a personal God that loves us. Now, I have to acknowledge that for some of you, hearing about God as Father, that's, that idea of Father's not necessarily a comforting metaphor for you, because not everybody had a great father on earth. And so some of you, your dad might have been mean or cruel or distant or absent or whatever, maybe difficult to please. And so I want to show you what God's Word says about our Heavenly Father, so that you see that our Heavenly Father is a good Father. He is a loving Father. He is a Father that will never leave you or forsake you. No matter what kind of an earthly father you may have had, our Heavenly Father is good. I'll show you four statements that God's Word says. Even if your earthly father was absent, God the Father, He's always present. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Even if your earthly father was harsh or cruel or critical, God the Father is always compassionate and kind and full of mercy. Even if your earthly father was distant, our God is a good God who draws close. When you draw near to your Heavenly Father, He draws near to you. And even if your earthly father was difficult, hard, impossible to please, our God delights in you, rejoices over you in Christ. Our God is a perfect Father, a loving Father that sees you and cares about you and pursues you. That's how good our Father is. But not only is God the Father, but He's also the Father Almighty. And that matters so much. He's not just the Father, but He's Almighty God. Why does it matter? Because a God who is just Father, He might be loving, but not powerful. In other words, He can't do much. And a God who's just Almighty might be powerful, but not loving. And our God is both. He's loving and He's Almighty. He's both a loving Father, and He's an all-powerful King. He is the God who rules the galaxies, and He is a Father who knows your name. God the Father Almighty. In Latin, you may have heard the word omnipotent. The word in Latin is this omnipotentum, and this is what the word means. It means having absolute power and supreme authority. Let me tell you about the almightiness of our God. He's an unrivaled, uncontested, unlimited in all creation, time, and existence. That is our Father who is almighty. And so what does this mean to you? Your marriage is in trouble. You've got a bad diagnosis. You're dealing with anxiety. You're afraid. You don't know what you believe. Someone hurt you, and you're trying to work through it. When you pray, here's what you can do. You might sometimes just kneel down out of reverence for our King. And when you pray, you might every now and then call God. You can pray to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. You can pray to God. You can pray to the Righteous One, the Ruler, the Sovereign. You can pray Almighty Father. And when you pray that, it reminds you that God is both personal and there's no problem too big for Him to handle. When you pray to Almighty Father, you know that He cares. And there's no person too broken for Him to heal. There's no plan of the enemy against you that our God can't stop. Our God is a loving Father, and He's Almighty. He loves you, and there's nothing impossible to our God. God is Father. And because He's Father, there's nothing too small for you to pray about. God cares about everything that you care about. So, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty. And then the next line, maker of heaven and earth. Now, when we call God maker or creator today, you might not think anything about this. Again, this was very controversial in early Christianity because there was this false teaching. We talked about Gnosticism. What is Gnosticism? The Gnostics believed that everything material, meaning the trees, the birds, our physical body, the clouds, everything material they believed was evil. And they believed that there was this lower God. Okay? There was this lower God. And this is what they believed. That this lower God created the material world. Then they believed there was a higher God and a true God that created everything that was spiritual. And was only concerned with spiritual things. This creed declares that God is the maker of the heavens and the earth. That when he created everything, he said, it is good. And that's why in John's gospel, whenever John declared, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then what he said next was actually counter-predicting or contradicting what the Gnostics believed. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he said, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. I believe that God is the maker of the heaven and earth. I would ask you this. What do you believe about God? What do you believe about God? Because what you believe about God shapes everything about you. And for centuries, faithful believers declared, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What's amazing is that the early Christians risked their lives to declare this creed, that they said it out loud, they could be killed for their faith. They risked their lives. What about you? What do you believe about God? I want to tell you what I believe about God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and said that it is good. I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who keeps his promises across generations. I believe in the God that parts the seas and makes a way when there is no other way. I believe in the God who led his people, but with fire at night and cloud by day. I believe in a God who brings down the walls with a shout and takes down the giant with a stone. I believe in the God who commands the winds and the waves, and they obey him. I believe in a God that restores the broken, heals the sick, and raises the dead. I believe in the God who became flesh and the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and died so we could live. I believe in the God who brings dead things back to life. I believe in a personal God, a loving God, an almighty God who's also Father, who knows you and sees you and loves you and calls you by name. I believe in the God who fights for you and goes before you, and the God who will never leave you, and the God that will never forsake you. I believe in the God who was and is to come, reigning on the throne, and one day will say to his son, now is the time. And the trumpet of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and Jesus will come back for his church, perfect and pure by the power of the Holy Spirit, without spot or wrinkle. And I believe in the one God who one day will wipe away every tear. I believe that God says there'll be no more pain, no more shame, no more sorrow, and no more pain. And I believe we will dwell with him forever, shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And I believe on the third day, when the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, and Christ was risen again. I believe it. I believe it. And so I would ask you, what do you believe? What do you, when your life falls apart, what do you when someone betrays you? What do you do when there's more month than there is money? Do you believe in God as personal Father, who's also almighty and all-powerful, the God who will never leave you and never forsake you, the God who is all-knowing and ever-present and completely omnipotent? Do you believe in the God of the Bible? Do you believe so fully that you'll give him your whole heart, that you'll trust him with your whole life, no matter the cost? Because listen, if he is that God, that's the only reasonable response. I can't speak on behalf of God, but I think it would break my heart if I were God and I sent my son and Christians behave like they do today. No reverence, no real fear of God, no passion. I mean, every now and then, when you realize who he is, you just can't contain yourself. Sometimes you stand up and shout. Other times you fall on your face, but you give him everything. It's not like you want to go to church Sunday? It's too pretty out. There's a game on. I'm kind of tired. No, it's like he is our God. He is our Father. We are his people. We exist to glorify him. It's because of who he is. This is who we are. We are the body of Christ. I believe in God the Father. What do you believe about God? Because what you believe about God shapes everything about you. And so if your life doesn't really reflect who he says you should be, then maybe I would have, asked you, what do you really believe? Not just up here, what do you believe in here? What do you believe? Because if he sent his son and died so I could be forgiven and rose again, then that demands everything. My life isn't about me. It's not, about what I can get. It's about what I can enjoy. It's not about my happiness and my comfort. My life is about him, because what you believe about him shapes everything about you. So I told you my prayer. My hope is that you'll learn this thing, and it won't just be words that you say. It'll be the spiritual foundation that shapes how you live. Because what we believe about God shapes everything about us. So what do you believe? What do you believe? I believe God, the Father Almighty, a personal God and a powerful God, who is here today revealing himself to you.